much projection to do it.
What does literature sound like? What stories will we hear if we listen to the archive? Welcome to the Spoken Web Podcast, stories about how literature sounds. My name is Hannah McGregor, and each month I'll be bringing you different stories of Canadian literary history and our contemporary responses to it, created by scholars, poets, students, and artists from across Canada. How have our experiences of live artistic events changed during the pandemic? The Words and Music Show is a monthly gathering that poet and musician Ian Ferrier has organized for over 20 years. It invites artists to share spoken word poetry, literature, music, dance, and other kinds of performance. Before March 2020, Ian brought the show to audiences in the physical space of Casa del Popolo in Montreal. The pandemic sent this event online and into strange hybrid physical-digital forms, as has happened with so many events that we used to attend in our favorite venues. Jason Camlaw assisted Ian in hosting the show online during this pandemic period. In addition to co-hosting the Words and Music Show, Jason Camlaw is the director of the Spoken Web Network and a professor of English at Concordia University. He uses past recordings of the show to bring us this new episode of the podcast during yet another wave of COVID contagion and shutdowns. Listening to these recordings is a call to reflect back on the many pivots this show and other live events have made over the past 2 years of COVID-impacted life. Jason wonders aloud whether it's too soon and too close to home to yet theorize about how COVID has transformed reading events, but he suggests it might be helpful to listen back to what organizers, artists, and fans of the show have been experiencing. What does this artistic gathering sound like now? Some of the sounds may be familiar to you: Zoom glitches and tech troubles, the lonely reverberance of a small crowd clapping, coughing fits, the strange absence of ambient conversation, and the background sounds of pets and children, reminders that people are listening from usually private home spaces. Artists and creative event organizers are a tough bunch. They have and will continue to weather the storms of challenges and unknowns in order to share writing, art, and poetry with those who wish to listen. We invite you to listen to this episode with us as we reflect on the shifting sounds of poetry readings and artistic community, and the power these events continue to have for us all. Here is Jason Camlaw with episode 5 of our third season of the Spoken Web Podcast. The show goes on. Words and music in a pandemic.
Here we go. 4-minute venue buzz. Let's see if it works. Not a chance.
It's not working. Are you sharing computer sound?
That is the sound of me, Jason Camlaw, and Ian Ferrier working out some technical effects just before the start of a Words and Music show that we hosted on Zoom in August 2020.
Oh, you don't have the advanced.
I'm not sure that I do at the moment.
I'm Jason Camlaw, a professor in Concordia University's Department of English and research chair in literature and sound studies.
Hi. I'm Ian Ferrier, and as far as this conversation is concerned, I'm a poet and a musician and a curator of multimedia shows featuring literature, music, poetry, performance, and dance. Yeah, I think we're just going to start this.
Cool. Oh, here's J. Alexander Brown.
Oh, oh, there we go. Nice.
Yeah, let that go for a minute before we start.
This episode is about all the shows that Ian and I have hosted online during the pandemic.
So, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Words and Music Show.
Since 2016, the Where Poets Read online listing of literary events in Montreal, curated by my colleague and regular collaborator Dr. Catherine McLeod, has posted details of nearly 800 readings. The last live, in-person event listed on the site, until very recently, was the Epic Voices Bilingual Poetry Show, held at La Vitrola on March 10th, 2020. That amazingly fun and moving bilingual show was co-hosted by Catherine and Catherine Cormier-Larose. I remember the show very well, not only because of the awesome readings by Clara Duplessis, Camilla Mackerel, Alexis Perry Cox, and 10 other excellent poets, but especially because it was the last public reading I would attend in person for a very long time. For 593 days, to be exact. More about how that stretch of time ended a little bit later in this podcast. But first, let's go back to March 2020, a time when we were just beginning to understand the implications of how the pandemic might alter our lives. Between March 12th and March 29th, the Where Poets Read listing showed a series of notices for canceled or postponed shows. You would find messages on Facebook like this one from Ian Ferrier.
Tonight's show is not canceled, only postponed. We are collecting tracks from all the performers who were scheduled to present and preparing the way to present them live in this group sometime this upcoming week. Stay tuned and stay safe.
And then we see a listing for the Words and Music show online.
It took longer than a week, by the way. It ended up being towards the middle or the end of April before we could get people online.
Yeah, but, this was the first one, right? Like April 19th?
Gee, was that it? Wow, that was a good one, too.
Or was it the correct date of that first online Words and Music show of the pandemic period was March 29th, 2020. It featured work by Brian Bartlett, Lune Très Belle, Alexis Perry Cox, Nisha Coleman, and Coeur Sala. Since that date, based on data some students of mine have been collecting by scouring events postings on social media, there have been thousands of online literary events, readings, book launches, public interviews, and panels hosted from locations across Canada and across the world using platforms such as Zoom, Facebook Live, Crowdcast, Instagram, and YouTube. If you've ever attended a poetry reading, whether you enjoyed it or not, or if you've ever listened to an episode of the Spoken Web podcast before, you'll know that public readings and performance are an important kind of literary communication, circulation, and community building. Much of the collaborative research pursued across the Spoken Web network is committed to preserving, listening to, and trying to understand the many meanings of historical recordings that document literary activity in Canada. In studying the thousands of recordings that constitute our collective archives of literary sound, we find ourselves asking, what did this event mean? Sometimes we find ourselves asking even more basic questions like, whose voice is that? What's that sound? But here we are in a period of major disruption again to just about everything, including to literary events, readings, and gatherings. There seem to be new, urgent questions to ask. What does this pandemic mean for literary performance communities? What does it mean for the way we think about and experience literature, as compared to how we did before, when we could see each other in person without concern of spreading or catching a potentially fatal virus? Even as I articulate the question, what does this mean? Another question arises, not quite drowning out the first one, but certainly obscuring its intelligibility and potential. What does this mean? Is this a question I should be asking right now? Back in May 2020, my colleague Catherine McLeod and I made a podcast for this Spoken Web podcast series, an episode called How Are We Listening Now?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi Catherine.
Hi.
Wait, let me turn my video on. Where are you, in your kitchen?
No, actually, I'm in my office room.
Hello from my kitchen.
About what it felt like to live and listen under pandemic conditions, just a few months after the COVID-19 pandemic first began, March 2020.
Good evening, and welcome to a fine winter evening of literature and some poems and some music.
We actually used the sounds from that first online Words and Music show, including the performances of Nisha Coleman.
You know, it's precarious, of course. It's precarious in the best of times. And now we're entering a new time where it's sort of precarious for everybody. So I think it's more important than ever to have this community, whether it be in person together singing hymns and drinking out of the same beer bottle, or, you know, maintaining this connection over the internet.
And Alexi Perry Cox.
My lover believed there had to be a point at which reality, perfect and concrete, would get through to humankind.
In retrospect, it marked the beginning of a long series of ongoing and maybe repetitive questions. That episode could go on and on, with only slight modifications to the title. How are we listening now?
And now.
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 And now. Catherine and I did revisit the episode and expand our thinking around that initial question in a scholarly article recently published in a special pandemics issue of the journal Canadian Literature. We ended our contribution to the article with a rather upbeat take on the transformative implications of the pandemic upon our scholarly and pedagogical activities. We concluded,
pandemic listening may be a new tremulous classroom within which we will come to hear, unlearn, and transform our understandings and practices of listening.
Our article is filled with theses of different kinds about pandemic listening that were developed through a process of listening to the kinds of online conversations about literature that we were having with students and colleagues during the first months of the pandemic. Writing the article necessarily represented an exercise in abstraction and theorization of that early experience. At least I felt it was necessary in preparing the article. When is it a good time to reflect on a crisis within which one is still deeply entrenched? When's a good time to reflect on our experience of the pandemic? Is it too soon to do so? Given that we are in a fifth wave now, and that the Omicron variant has initiated a series of public responses that are reminiscent of the very early period of the pandemic, it may be a good time to listen to what we have gone through, even though we're still going through it. Perhaps it is still too early to theorize the meaning of the pandemic, but it feels helpful somehow to listen to it. In this episode, my way of listening to my recent experience of the texture of time and of the pandemic as it existed for me for an hour or so on every third Sunday of the month will take the form of selecting and playing recorded moments from some of the 16 distinct online Words and Music Show events that I've co-hosted with Ian Ferrier from my institutional Zoom account since March 22nd, 2020. In selecting moments from pandemic episodes of the Words and Music Show, I've been as interested in listening to the sounds around the performance as the performances themselves. We were interested in the sounds that surround the show as well.
Jason, will you be doing the fake applause?
Oh, I can send you some fake applause if you want.
Yeah, sure. Send me some fake applause.
One sec. Okay. I just, Jason, I just sent you a couple of little applause clips.
How's everyone's weekend been?
Hey. It was like Clara just walked in on a sitcom. And
yeah. Exactly.
By the way, that's real life CASA applause.
That's cool.
And I just sent you a 4 minutes of crowd buzz too, which is like just a, when nothing's going on,
right,
and people are talking with each other.
Oh, hi, Judy.
Hey, everyone.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, so happy to be here. Jason, that's a virtual background. I didn't know.
It is.
It's quite deceptive.
Yeah, it's the Casa del Popolo where the Words and Music Show often happens, or usually happens, yeah.
There we go, crowd buzz.
It's crowd buzz, we're creating a virtual atmosphere.
Well, the crowd is so loud, it's hard to hear you guys.
I know, that's what we gotta yell.
In honor of this crowd, I'm gonna go grab myself a beer before this show starts. I'll be right back.
All right.
It's so crowded, he might find there's a lineup.
Oh, hey, Kenny. I don't know if you can hear us.
Sounds like Audience buzz and different kinds of applause captured on tape from past live shows to give a sound of appreciation from a group of people that is practically impossible to produce when on Zoom, because Zoom cancels out sound altogether when more than two or three people speak or make noise at the same time, at least with the standard noise cancellation settings on. We missed those sounds online. Those first 10 months of the pandemic, oh my God. Not only were we dealing with the anxiety and intense uncertainty of the virus, not quite knowing what it was all about, and many months away from the first vaccines, but Donald Trump still had a Twitter account. That was only taken away from him on January 9th, 2021. And on May 25th, George Floyd was murdered. Teaching and collaborative research activities and community work, like being on the board of the Quebec Writers Federation, QWF, kept me sane by giving me a sense of purpose. But the dull hum of utter purposelessness and helplessness were always there in the background. Through my participation in the QWF, and with the leadership of spoken word performer and novelist Tanya Evanson, a regular words and music performer over the years, I became involved in collaboratively producing a show that featured Black Montreal-based performers, Rowan Higgins, Fabrice Coffey, Faith Paré, and Jason Blackbird Selman. For this QWF, Wired on Words, Throw Collective, and Spoken Web special Black Writers Out Loud edition of the Words and Music Show, we invited these four amazing performers to appear on the legendary stage of the Sala Rosa. The Sala Rosa. The room is indeed red, and the stage is framed by rich, velvety red curtains. It is a venue on Saint-Laurent Boulevard, the main, in the Plateau, that has hosted hundreds of important shows, events, dances, and community gatherings over the past 80-plus years. Built in the 1930s as a cultural center and gathering place for the Jewish Arbeiterring, or Workman's Circle, where people of all ages gathered, spoke Yiddish, argued about politics, put on variety shows and plays. I've been going there since I was a teenager myself. I've seen bands like Sebado at the Sala, attended scores of spoken word and intermedia shows when the Festival Voix d'Amérique, organized by Les Filles Électriques, was held there, and I've performed on that stage lots of times myself, either reading poems or playing music. On November 1st, 2019, Ian hosted a community celebration for the 20-year anniversary of the Words and Music show there. That was a fun night, with over a dozen performers and what seemed like 100 or more people listening, hanging out, doing what one did when one went to a live show / celebration at a cool local venue. On this night, for the recording of the Montreal Black Writers Out Loud event, a little more than 2 years later, the atmosphere at the Sala was something quite different. Venues were not allowed to have audiences at shows. We were recording the performances from the Sala stage to be webcast as a live from the Sala Words and Music show just a few hours later. The only people permitted in the venue were the four performers, the audio and video technicians who were recording the sets, Ian, who was introducing the artists from the stage, and me, because it was thought I might need to Zoomcast the show directly from there if the recording took longer than expected. We were all masked when I said hi to the performers before they began. And then I watched in the chilly, empty space, leaning on the bar at the back of the room. The taps were dry. The performances were fantastic. Fabrice Coffey.
Je m'appelle Serge. J'ai 32 ans. J'habite un bloc appartement. Je t'invite chez moi. Nothing wrong. Just come to my apartment tonight. Just gonna chill. Je m'appelle Serge. J'ai 32 ans. J'habite un bloc appartement. Je t'invite chez moi. Yeah, just gonna chill a little bit in my neighborhood. Just for like 3 minutes. Je m'appelle Serge, 32 ans. J'habite un bloc appartement. Je t'invite chez moi.
They were all the more amazing, given that each artist had to do their set a second time because the sound messed up during the first recording session, and the error was only discovered after all four sets of the entire hour-long show had been performed. In fact, Rowan Higgins had to come back another day to re-record her set because she couldn't hang around to do it a second time. She had to go home to a child who was sick. So her set wouldn't make it out to Zoom and Facebook Live that night. Faith Paré.
Hi there, guys. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. I want to say thank you to the Quebec Writers Federation, to Wired on Words and Ian Ferrier, to Spoken Web Canada, and to the Throw Collective. This is really wicked to be able to be in the space again. So as well, thank you to the Celebrosa team for taking good care of us, and to Fabrice and Jason, and to Rowan, who's here with us in spirit. It was awesome getting to chat with you guys in September, and really wicked to be performing alongside some powerhouse poets from Montreal. So thank you for welcoming me into this community as well. I have a kind of suite of poetry for you guys, which is kind of a Black feminist elegizing of the world, and it begins with an epigraph from the poet Claire Harris. While babies bleed, this is not the poem I wanted, it is the poem I could. Poetry is the stuff of a life lived. What I have endured is no life. The insult of that, the salt poured into the wound my mouth was replaced with. I know the unsolicited tips to smooth my frown lines. I know to try a smile from every sidewalk leering guy. I know the flies I'm bowed to catch. How impolite. No one likes mouth on a Black girl unless it's sucking cock or it's an open grave. Best when both. And when they still see a hanged man in my dangling shin, I need to fix my face. But my face is already fixed on the doom scroll, the hashtags wreck, the headline bolded and stampeding through my throat when I'm sitting with a pen, when I try laughter, when I take a sip of water stolen from somewhere and still smell smoke from the flash bang grenade tossed on the Black girl asleep, the breathless call for mother of a Black girl when they barked her off a balcony, Black girl after Black girl submerged in river after river because of their dead names can't go anywhere in the world, can't go when the one door out is my mouth, can't when sound is cowering inside me with canned food ready to hide years on end, can't.
The Salah Show was an experiment of sorts, an attempt to give the effect of a live show delivered from a beloved venue for an online audience. The quality of the performances and the quality of the audio and video were both great. But there was also something a bit eerie about the juxtaposition of a recognizable, happening venue in which nothing was happening apart from the amazing performances on stage. The silence surrounding the sets was more than just noticeable. It was audible. It was thick. Thick with quiet and absence. Jason Blackbird Selman.
Lend me a psychedelic dream. Lend me pieces of daylight. Lend me a destruction sweeter than anything I can remember. Lend me open sounds, a courtyard, Sedgwick Ave. Bury this knowledge in sound, a beat that repeats a rhythm that has a mind of its own. Let the mind grow. Spread to all five boroughs like a virus, Black fire, wild stone, rhythm for talk. Speak softly. Take over the world. It was so easy to know you. Once I began listening to myself, the verse became free. Psychedelic colors and psychedelic graves, daisies growing wild from the barrel of a gun, shoot stars. Love is an idle threat. Shouted to the world who is not like I when delivering themselves to themselves, a glass filled with tears, this venom filled with love. I love her so much because she lets me know that I am fading. Ghetto codes. and gray days. The search for search, the sound of sound. Find yourself in flames, evenings on pause, part of something, apart and in parts. Open the first door. Let yourself in. Good evening. It's good to be here at Sala. It's always good to be here and amongst wonderful poets from our city. And all of you are watching right now. I just want to say thank you to QWF, to Ian, Words and Music. And it's good that we can do this. But I also really look forward to coming back into the world and having a full audience, because we appreciate your virtual support, but we also appreciate your energy and face-to-face, because that does make what we do really worth doing.
I feel honored to have been one of a handful of people who was in the room to see those terrific live performances before an absent audience. I hooted and yeah'd, clapped and cheered loudly through my mask from the back of the room. The reverberation of my solitary response was a bit sad. I could have been an installation in the show currently running at the Montreal Museum of Art, entitled How Long Does It Take for One Voice to Reach Another? For the next month's show, Ian and I went back to sitting in front of our computers and hosted an event of performers and audience members who were sitting in front of theirs. As we realized that online shows meant you could invite just about anyone in the world to perform on Zoom, I suggested to Ian that we invite the UK-based poet Angela Sapaniak to join the December 13th, 2020 show. I had just finished editing Angela's third poetry collection for DC Books, and I knew it would be great to hear her read from
it. She lectures in creative writing at the University of Surrey, and she has a new book coming out soon called The Nerves Center. So please welcome Angela Sapaniak.
Thank you so much, Ian. And thank you for having me. It's really lovely to be here from London, very late at night right now for me. Really nice to meet you all too. So I'll be reading from my forthcoming book, The Nerves Center, which is a long narrative poem about a performer in the midst of stage fright while on stage and attempting to give a performance. And each act in the sequence of the long poem shifts between a performer trying to speak and what she actually says, which takes the form of sound poems. The sound poems are comprised, I guess I should say, of recordings of panic attacks that I played into transcription software, which then assigned kind of letters and phrases and words-ish to it. It wasn't very good at transcribing, which was very helpful when I was reshaping them into sound poems for the page. What didn't really occur to me until now, this is my first reading of the work or from this book, excuse me, is that I am essentially going to be reenacting lots of panic attacks that I once had long ago, which is a kind of exciting night, I guess, for everyone. Excuse me.
It seemed especially appropriate for the Zoom stage, which might add its own sonic glitches through wavering connectivity. I was excited to hear what the planned silences in the poems would sound like on Zoom. And I was just excited to see Angela, since it had been a while since we'd Zoomed, because she had contracted the COVID virus some months before and had been knocked out of commission for quite a while now.
I suppose also I should say that panic attack-wise, I very helpfully caught a virus a while ago, which results in me coughing constantly. So that's what you're going to hear for a lot of those kind of breathy sound poems. It's just going to be replaced by coughing today. Excuse me. There are 10 acts altogether, and each one maps onto a specific self-help strategy for managing anxiety and performance anxiety. Excuse me. I will keep this short also, given the cough. So, The Nerve Center, a novel in performance anxiety. The Nerve Center, in 10 acts. the nerve center in 131 stanzas, 2,417 phonetic utterances, and tonight, especially for you all, 9,381 coughs, and I'm guessing on that. Act one, act natural, be yourself. Speaker stands alone at microphone, pin neat, polite. Serenity slipping through finger twitches. Speaker readies self, opens mouth, silence. Mouth opens, this time with resolve. Silence snaps, jaws shut. Speaker opens, steadied mouth, finally. Regroup, reapproach. Speaker backsteps, wheezes a casual graveyard whistle, shuffles a soft shoe, sidles up, microphone adjacent, to take it by surprise.
Angela continued performing, despite the discomfort, from several other acts in the nerves center, as we all listened intently to a combination of breathing, coughing, and rich descriptions that frame the stage readings within a vaudevillian kind of world. Angela's book is very funny and remarkable for its acceptance without judgment of so many failures in speech, for the sense of hope that each act brings, and for the deep compassion the book shows for anyone who may be struggling to find their voice, for anyone trying to speak and be heard. And here we were, sitting in our own isolated sets, listening to a performance of anxiety and disarticulation that was both deliberate and real, highly performative, and absolutely involuntary at the same time.
I am going to stop there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And were it not for many, many coughing fits, I would continue. But I think you get the idea of what this is like. Thank you.
In many ways, it was the most pandemic-y performance imaginable. Painful, beautiful, absurd. It made perfect sense.
And thank you so much for coming. I should tell everybody, Angela's been telling us a little bit about living with COVID in the UK, which sounds pretty intense, with Starbucks open and everything else open and lots of people catching it. And it's 1 a.m. for you. So thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to that.
And if you want to catch some more of that, I think the Nerve Center is coming out this winter at some point.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, let's speed ahead a bit. Lots of shows happened between December 2020 and the special Words and Music Show, Spoken Web Symposium Edition, held in May 2021. February 21st, 2021, for Black History Month, we reprised a screening of the Sala Rosa Black Writers Out Loud show, now with Rowan Higgins' performance restored so that all four sets could be viewed together.
We are shell-shocked, numb, sick and tired. These are the symptoms of PTSD. Whether we march, kneel, or speak, our voices are unheard in the streets. Every living thing on this earth retreats or reacts or stands still until the threat passes. So please stop asking our people who are paralyzed to walk with you. Stop judging others for not speaking up when their vocal cords are shot from screaming, crying for babies they never birthed, yet feel the contractions of these now household names. I can't even say all their names as there are too many to remember, but their faces are etched in my mind with their mother's cry looped over this never-ending soundtrack. We are forever in labor with pain that our children will never belong or feel accepted, that they are guilty in being groomed from preschool to prison. Before they leave their house, they are reminded by their mamas, stand tall, smile, look straight so you won't come off hostile. Keep your hands where it can be seen. Move slowly, never, never run. Don't hang out on the streets and keep your hoodie off. Comply, answer their questions, and cordially and politely, whatever you do, Just stay calm and keep the camera rolling. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity. It's an amazing time to have a show in these times to be able to come together, even virtually. While they say we socially distance, we do not distance socially.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah.
Sunday, March 21st, 2021. The Words and Music Show is your online welcome to spring. Tawilda Tanya Evanson is here with a new book, and Catch Poems, Music, Art, and Dance with Emily Zoe Baker, Australia, Raymond Jackson, New Orleans, Marie-France Jacques, Montreal, visual art by Francis Caprani, verse by Kelsey Nicole Brooks, music by Ramila Arax Kumroya.
Still hearkening to blues time, ancestral rhythm, native tongue, hunting the itch I've always known, where kismet bleeds from saxophone, and the edified yet pray the bottles of bud in the last bastion bar, bulwarks on Burgundy, a ship, fish, upon shifting shore.
If a person knows two languages, people often ask, do you dream in Spanish or English? When you fall in love, you learn a person like a language. You write in symbols, know the punctuation of their fingers, the accent they leave on your pillows. You are fluent. But how do you unlearn a language?
In a blunt second, Shams had aged a decade. Barely 29, with wrinkles on the forehead now pronounced, a furrowed brow of doubt, the face of a guilt complex, there was no concealing a human being in supplication for simply falling out of love. Who knows how the heart moves until it stops moving towards you?
Okay, thanks, folks. Good night for now.
Thank you very much, guys. See
you. Nice meeting you all.
Yeah, nice meeting you all.
Likewise. Yeah. See you next time.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thank you. Hello. We're going to go off air now.
April 18th, 2021. An absorbing evening featuring verse by Sarah Wolfson, music by Geronimo Inutik, art by Louise Belcourt, David Bateman as Dr. Sad, a new video by Marie-Josée Tremblay, words and music by Ian Ferrier. With a wealth of words, music, video, and art, an online show to help us forget the 8 p.m. lockup. Or is that lockdown?
Should I start now?
Yes, you are on, dear.
Okay. They loved to laugh together and drink and shop, especially when they were unhappy. She was much less happy than he was.
In those days, we had a tool for taking the chords off beats. We grew everything then, even our little toes. If our noses went missing, we replaced them with the most obliging rubs we could find.
I loved my grandfather. I hated my parents. He painted all the time. I hung around him.
We're just too many and we're born too fast. Sarah and Will and James and Tina and Ian and John and Michael and Eric and Ty and Sarah Beth and Mary Deuce.
Take care until then.
Bye.
Everyone.
Take good care. Be well. Bye. Good night,
everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
So now we're entering May 2021, and the entire Concordia Spoken Web team is deep into planning and delivering the annual Spoken Web Symposium, which, for the second year in a row, was supposed to bring everyone to Montreal to share work, but which, again, had to take place online. The symposium, with the theme Listening, Sound, Agency, was a great success, with over 30 panels, so nearly 100 papers presented, by scholars and students from all over the world who are interested in exploring intersections between literary studies and sound studies. The symposium was great, and then the Summer Sound Institute, filled with all kinds of workshops and research showcases, was also great. But with all of that done, I was extremely excited to host a special edition of the Words and Music Show, where anyone from the symposium or from our research network could share a poem, a story, a song, or a joke. We sent out a call trying to entice people to participate. And once we had a roster, I asked Ian to prepare one of his radio promo ads for the show.
On Sunday, May 23rd, Wired on Words partners with Spoken Web to present a special edition of the Words and Music Show.
If this had been a live show, it would have taken place at the Casa del Popolo, longtime home of Words and Music. Instead, we were online again. Still, this was as close as we would come that summer to hanging out, joking around, being silly and creative together.
Yeah, we have a bunch of different performances from members of the Spoken Web Network. And this is really, it doesn't replace the gathering and party that we would have had if we'd been able to all gather together in Montreal. But it's meant to have the fun feel of that kind of gathering.
Poet and Simon Fraser University PhD student Cole Mash hosted it in a way that made it all feel, at times, like we really were in the castle together.
I have to turn my video off so I have a better connection and then kind of having a drink. But welcome to the Words and Music Show, Spoken Web Edition. I personally have actually never seen this show. But I'm really honored and privileged to be able to host it and be a part of it. So I hear it's a pretty good show. We have about 10 or so lucky people who have signed up for tonight's event. So can everyone please turn their cameras off? Okay, great. Everyone turn their mics on. Everyone say words and music all at the same time and see how that goes.
Words and music.
All right. That was pretty good, actually. I got to hear quite a few people. That was nice. Okay, everyone turn their cameras back on, but make a weird face when you turn your camera back on. All right, very nice. So now that I know you're all listening...
My own contribution to the show is to play a clip from the archive of me performing a song at a Words and Music show that took place nearly 20 years earlier.
So thanks so much, Cole, Ian. It's great to be back on the pin screen. And it seemed appropriate, really, rather than do something new, since we've been spending so much time with Ian's archive of shows, to dig into that and to, you know, play a performance that I did back in 2003. And I was thinking about this, and this is what happens when you listen back into an archive, especially if you find yourself in it, even if you don't, if you were at a show or whatever. But I'm thinking 2003, that means my son was probably around the same age as Cole's son is now. You know, like I think of Deanna Fong, and I think of some of my colleagues and friends now who are starting families. And that's sort of where I was at in 2003. Actually, my son was probably a year and a half, and my daughter was just born probably about a month before this show. And I chose to play a song that I've just been singing in the backyard with my daughter no less than a couple weeks ago. So she's 16 now and taught herself guitar during COVID and has been writing songs herself. And so we're sharing our own compositions with each other. And so this is one that I taught her and that she sang along with. So it's from the Words and Music Show, April 27th, 2003.
It was fun to introduce this clip, set it up, and listen to it so many years later with new friends and students.
And we're just going to play one more song. I want to thank Ian for lending me his guitar. This song is called Derbyland, and Kenny's going to be playing a charango, which is made of an armadillo.
A dead armadillo.
Yeah. If you hear some screaming, that's the armadillo. It's like...
It was especially fun and moving to have my old friend and music collaborator tune into the show and to hear his response to a recording that he never knew existed.
I'm trying to think back to that time and, you know, everything's a blur, but...
Musician Kenny Smilovich.
Like, I don't remember, like, how did that end up recorded? Was that sort of the plan, or did it just happen that someone recorded it?
So Ian recorded pretty much every Words and Music show almost since its inception.
Wow, that's
this
amazing.
Was the longest online words and music show of the pandemic period by far.
When the artist takes matter and builds a fence around it in the name of a line, or takes matter into their own hands and abstracts, what results is a manifestation of power in the sense of imposition and not in the sense of strength.
This poem's called Asking the Spoon to Run Away Takes Courage. A spoon's work is never done. They sit folded into time, waiting, as we all do, to be picked up.
I should have predicted the death of this city. I could have predicted it if only there had been no such pretty flowers.
Pools and pavement in black ice. Random stones steam faintly. Lime water and licorice light. Think how the black dust, Beth, made men dance.
I have no words, officer. Blame my tongue, who stole each one in its scamper for escape when he begged me, when your men with the gavel bang voices hounded me. Yes.
I sing my fool song to the wise, intoxicating Jarl and Thrall alike. I know the runes, the words of white. I know the words of flaming light, the words that still the sea at midnight.
I see my light come shining from the west down to the east. Any day now, any day I shall be ready.
All of my friends in a plastic bag, walking around, jumping train tracks over the fence. Things all black, sleep on a bench in a park.
And yet, even after 2 hours, we were happy to linger, chat, and debrief.
Well, I guess at this point, we've been together for 2 hours. It's gone really quickly, and it's been so enjoyable. I just want to thank, first of all, Cole and Ian for hosting tonight. And Ian, like I said earlier, also for just lending us the words and music stage for this evening. And really to everyone for taking the chance to share something tonight. You know, it's... I think, as Mike put it, it's a safe environment that we're trying to create, both in terms of sharing ideas, concepts, methods in our research and our collaborative practice, but also our creativity. And this is just an extension of that. And since we haven't been able to join in person this year, it just felt like it would be great to have a space where we could just share some stuff and other parts of ourselves. And I think that really happened tonight. And so I'm just so happy that it did.
To help make the sign-off period feel less harsh and abrupt, we engaged in an exercise of imagining each other offline after the show as a way of saying goodbye, but still keeping each other in mind.
I will say, finally, you know, when Catherine and I had a workshop recently, we were sort of trying to address the issue of like, well, where do people go after they disappear from Zoom, right? You know, you could spend time together and then suddenly you're in a shared space and then you're no longer in the shared space. So maybe as a way to lessen the blow of departure, I'm going to suggest that we do the same thing again and ask you, what's the next thing you're going to hear or the next thing you're going to do after leaving us tonight? Catherine, you want to share what you're going to hear next?
Yeah, sure. I'm gonna be picking up my little cat who's been hanging out and we're gonna have a little chat and then I'm gonna hear the creaking of the door, and I also just feel like putting on some music and continuing to just like move and stretch. I feel like it really made me want, I said this after the last time when I was gonna go dance, but I feel like just like moving and stretching to some music. That's what I'm going
to
do next.
Yeah. I'm going to go see if my daughter wants to play guitar outside. So yeah. Even though it's really hot. So. How about you, Kenny? What's the next sound you're going to hear?
I'll probably have a few bites of dinner and then head downstairs and see if I can remember the chords to Derbyland on a charango.
Awesome. Yeah. That'd be great. Clara?
I'm definitely going to get some ice cream, which means I'll be opening the fridge and there'll be like a suction sound from the fridge.
Nick, what's the next sound you're going to hear after you leave us?
Oh, my cat's meowing, and I have to keep grinding at my dissertation. So,
some grinding, disc grinding.
Not for too long. I'm going to go do something fun after, but that's what I'm doing next.
How about you, Faith?
Probably the sound of my roommate and I chatting. We're probably going to watch a movie tonight. So, maybe some horror movie screams, and we have some Indian food on the way. So, like that kind of straw sound, sucking up like the last bits of like mango lassi. I'm very excited for that particular thing. Yeah.
That's great. Great array of sounds. Allie, how about you? What's the next sound you're going to hear?
So probably similar to other people. I don't know if you can see her, but my cat over there will probably wake up. So I'll probably hear her. She's right there. And probably my own excitement over going to eat some food. So sounds of excitement.
Felicity?
I'm going to open the door to this room and walk down my very creaky hallway. And I miss somebody's bedtime. So either I will hear silent breathing or I will hear a little voice that says, Mama?
Judy, how about you?
Yeah, without you all, just the undiluted fan noises in this apartment with some like thrum of traffic, just steady cars. And I'll probably walk outside, so I'll get some door creak and maybe even a cricket.
And Cole?
There's three unbathed children awaiting me, so there's going to be screaming most likely. And then after that, I hope silence.
So it makes it a lot easier, not easy, but a lot easier to say goodbye to you all now. Thanks for a wonderful evening, everyone. And we'll see you soon at one of the events this week, I hope. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Jason.
That particular show did feel as close to a live encounter over Zoom as I've had. The livest online event I've ever attended. Since we're just about out of time, let me take you to the last Zoom conversation of what we thought, we hoped, might be the last online words and music show of the pandemic period. September 19th, 2021. We thought that might be it, that we would never see each other again in the flat, tiled, and often inaudible world of Zoom. We spoke to each other as if we were preparing to teleport into another dimension.
I'm so excited to imagine that we can start collaborating and joining together and seeing things in real life.
It also makes one realize just what a sort of community there has been created through the online shows. So I felt that through listening to John's piece that it actually, it would be different to hear that on the stage. And it's very intimate that we are able to gather here to listen to it here tonight. So.
And it feels like it's maintained a sense of community and a sense of continuity throughout the pandemic to have these. It's, in my opinion, it's not the same as the vibe you have in a room full of people, but the fact that this show didn't just disappear off the face of the earth and has kept us all tethered to the phenomenon called Montreal. Because, barely leaving the house, especially last year when I was more paranoid about COVID, I could have been anywhere, Who even knows if you're in Montreal?
I'm concerned though, if we go back to doing like real live performances, what are you gonna do, Jason? I'm concerned.
I only exist here in this square. I mean, I will still be here if ever you return 20, 30 years from now, if you decide to come back. Here I will be. And
you'll find look me, exactly so. The same.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jason isn't real, John.
Jason. Yeah.
That's right.
Jason's going to show up to Café Résonance with a cardboard cutout of...
That's right. Catherine's going to be carrying me on a stick with a little string.
After having co-hosted the Words and Music show online for nearly 2 years, Ian invited me to perform at the first live show since March 2020, a show that we thought would be a return to live events on a regular basis.
There we go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first live show in 18 months. Holy crap. I mean, I look back at that whole time and it feels like a giant hallucination, and I wonder where I was and what was going on. And it's so nice to see people in a room and to be able to present things for them and to actually jam with other musicians from time to time. All of this stuff is so great. So thank you so much for coming tonight. Really nice to have everybody here.
I was quite anxious about participating in this show. Not so much about giving a reading as about being in a room with lots of people. Anxious, but very excited as well. I had to arrive a bit late, and so I sat in the back of the room for most of the first set. Then, at intermission, I moved up to join some friends who were seated in the audience. It felt great to sit at a table and chat with people. I had a new book of poems that was about to come out, so I printed up some flyers that the press had given me and handed them out to people during intermission. Then I went up to the mic in front of people and read.
We're very, very lucky. When we started this project, the project of going online at the beginning of COVID, I was very lucky to have help from Jason Kamler, who's a fine poet and also one of the core people in a project called Spoken Web, which is taking audio literature and making it databases of it so that people can study it in 30 years and say, wow, those people were amazing. Whatever they were. And he's got a new book which is just coming out called Valarp. The reason you have those sheets on your table is the book's not quite out yet, but if you have one of these sheets, you get a big discount on the book, so you can get it later. Oh. So please welcome Jason Kamler.
Thanks so much, Ian. Thank you, everyone. It's so exciting to be with other people.
Yes.
So let's just give ourselves a hand for having, you know, made it through the last 2 years. And as Ian said, we've been doing the Words and Music show on Zoom. I had a background of the CASA always on my screen as I was hosting it from my basement. And it's just a great feeling to be listening with people and to have the opportunity to read tonight. They keep well in winter, and sometimes, like jagged mouths, they appear frozen in the lake ice. And then they suffocate in shallow pits, are digested with wood, and transform into charcoal and muck. My botanical book speaks of exogenous stems plunged into lead. I don't in the least want to know what that means. I prefer to understand them as the ground's trembling scales, the soil thus sung in Coral Shiver.
In listening back to the audio of those two most recent live Words and Music shows, the last shows of 2021, it is amazing to hear just how noisy they are, with movement, chatter, tumult. This was the buzz we had been trying to emulate in awkward attempts that were comically artificial due to latency, inappropriate amplitude, and bad timing. Awkward, too, because that venue buzz, as Ian called it, isn't just background noise. Not really. It is the sound of affect in action. The sound of a kind of responsive choreography that captures what it feels like, maybe even what it means, to be together at an event where people get up on stage and share something they made just for you. When I interviewed Ian for this podcast during the final days of 2021, it was clear that we had no idea where the next Words and Music show would happen. In person, online, we didn't know.
Hopefully this latest iteration of COVID is not as dangerous as the ones before, but it sure is virulent from the looks of it. So I feel kind of lost about that. I think the first lockdown, I don't know how it was for you. I found I was in a bit of shock just because I didn't realize how much of my life had been based on going from thinking of something to making something to putting that thing out and seeing how it lived in the world to going back and making something else. You know, that was the core of my creative practice, and all of a sudden that was gone. And until we did those live shows, I didn't realize how much I'd missed it. And it was like, oh yeah, we're back on stage, and this feels so much better, and it's so much more present, it's so much more focused. So I'm hoping that if we get stuck again, and I very much hope we don't, but it looks like we probably will, that I can devise something more interesting to do with that time, something that I enjoy doing as opposed to the feeling of being stuck indoors.
We talked about how the past 2 years, and now this recent return to something like a lockdown in Quebec with bars, pubs, and restaurants closed to in-person patrons, has taken its toll on the venues that have supported the Words and Music show over the years. La Vitrola, the venue where the Epic Voices show of March 10th, 2020 had taken place, was long gone. The Casa del Popolo had closed its showroom in March 2020 and tried to make a go of it as a shop for a while.
Well, it's still kind of unfolding. At the moment, it sounds like the two partners in Casa and Sala, who were partners themselves, are breaking up. And they're running through all the troubles that involves at the same time as these venues that they ran together. I've basically closed down. Sala is still open, but I haven't seen anything at Casa del Popolo since COVID happened. I hear the occasional rumor that there will be something in April, but I'm not really sure. James Goddard is working there in the office now, so I occasionally ask him, but he doesn't know either what's going to happen. And that would be tough because for a lot of us in this neighborhood, that was a place where you could always drop in and catch something or say hello to a friend or meet for coffee or for food or whatever. We did our Mile End Poets Festival. We did at least one or two nights there for almost 10 years too. So I really miss the place.
And now, in the first days of 2022, we have learned that the Resonance Cafe, the venue that Ian turned to for the most recent live shows, is shutting down too. The Sala has managed to stay afloat, in part through the kind of live streaming and recording sessions that we did for the Black Writers Out Loud show. Just a couple of days ago, CBC reporter Fen Mays published a profile piece on the venue, covering the long history of the place and interviewing the staff and owners about what it means to them and how they've managed to keep going. It makes me a little anxious to read a story like this, which might just as easily be an obituary as a feel-good profile piece under the current ongoing circumstances. But the article ends on a positive note of sorts, the final line being, quote, "If these walls could talk, they'd sing," close quote. I mean, at least it didn't report that the Sala was closing. Even if we could do the next show in person, where would that be? Ian doesn't know. But not knowing what's coming next, as far as pandemic circumstances are concerned, does not create even the slightest shiver of uncertainty in Ian about the Words and Music show.
I think, well, let's go around the world and find Gros Corps Malade from France or something, you know, or track down some people we'd really like to hear and would normally not be able to bring. I think that's one quality of it. And another quality is, on the shows online, I think it would be worthwhile getting people talking among to each other, you know, either at the beginning of the show or at the end or something like that, or intermission, just to keep part of that spirit alive. Because I just notice people actually like to be with each other, you know, and they like to talk and flirt and get huffy or not, or go through all the kinds of experiences they can go through with both with people they know and the joy of total strangers, not knowing who that person is and what they're going to bring. So
there is a stubbornness of imagination. One might say a resilience of imagination, to use a popular COVID period word, that characterizes our continued willingness and will to keep creating, gathering, and sharing sounds and stories. It's not so much that the words and music shows must go on. It's just a given. The show goes on.
You wake up. Find yourself on a train.
Spoken Web is a monthly podcast produced by the Spoken Web team as part of distributing the audio collected from and created using Canadian literary archival recordings found at universities across Canada. Our producer this month is Spoken Web director Jason Camlott of Concordia University. Our podcast project manager and supervising producer is Judith Burr. Our episodes are transcribed by Kelly Cubbin. A special thanks to Ian Ferrier and all of the hosts and organizers, artists, performers, and audience members who have engaged in online literary events over the past 2 years when we have been unable to gather in person. To find out more about Spoken Web, visit spokenweb.ca and subscribe to the Spoken Web podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you may listen. And if you love us, let us know. Rate us and leave a comment on Apple Podcasts or say hi on our social media at Spoken Web Canada. Stay tuned to your podcast feed later this month for Shortcuts with Catherine McLeod. Mini stories about how literature sounds.